You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know something? On a day like today when I know my man RC who's back in the house. He's gonna be here long term. Knowing that he was gonna be in the house. Knowing my man Doggy. Oh, he's gonna be here long term too. Knowing he was gonna be in the house. It was only right that I came dressed for the occasion. I know we have football to talk about. I know we have basketball to talk about. I know Little Miss Red Riding Hood, she gonna have some things to say. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, my boys are here with me. What's up, fellas? What's up, fellas? First takes in the hands.
Who knew? Crewed up on a Wednesday. I got everybody here in studio. My guy, Ryan Clark. RC, it was a big surprise to have you here in March. Happy to see you in studio.
Good to be here.
We're lucky to have you. This guy, fresh off the golf course, the beach, the
nice
tennis court.
Oh,
you got a sweet tan.
I don't look 65.
No.
You look like A-Rod.
Living your best life.
I sent Molly all the pictures.
Yep. He was in an exotic, undisclosed.
I want to be you when I grow up. That's a good shot back there.
It's phenomenal.
Hey,
That's gorgeous. Wherever you were,
gorgeous.
It was gorgeous.
No, undisclosed, the line that you learned to use, undisclosed tropical location. That's what you say. But when you out there, you couldn't have got a haircut?
I think it looks really good. It's wild.
You know, my dog was on them gummies out there. Hey, you already know.
I brought my supplies. The little red ones.
Did you have a nice vacation?
I did, yeah.
Good. RC, are things are going well in your world?
Things are excellent.
That's what I like to hear. SA, I know you're happy to be sitting next to me. You're so blessed.
I'm so blessed.
Let's carry on.
I'm so blessed.
Kimberly Martin and Lewis Riddick will join us shortly. All right, we got a lot of news, y'all. Day two of free agency didn't disappoint. So let's dive into it. Derrick Henry signed a 2-year deal with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Henry, who has at least 10 rushing touchdowns in 6 straight seasons, now joins the league's top-ranked rushing offense from last season. We'll get into that. But it isn't all good news for the Ravens. They lost Pro Bowl linebacker Patrick Queen to the rival Steelers, where he will join T.J. Watt in an already great defense. Dive into that, too. And Patrick Mahomes restructured his contract, freeing up nearly $22 million of cap space. That allowed the Chiefs to bring back Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed, which is major. All right, Mad Dog, you're up first, fresh off vacay. Does the signing of Derrick Henry now make the Ravens even scarier than the Chiefs?
No, there's no way, because the quarterback, I still can't take Jackson over Mahomes, and Lamar did not play well again in postseason play. Listen, Henry would do a great job. He'd be really motivated. He's got a chance to get to a Super Bowl. He's got to lose something to prove. They will feed with him. That is a great signing. Don't get me wrong. But still, if I told you right now, even with Henry, that the Chiefs and Ravens are playing in the 2024 AFC Championship game, and Mahomes is Mahomes and Lamar is Lamar, you'd still take the Chiefs to win the game. You'd have to. They won last year in Baltimore, and of course the Flowers fumbled and all. I understand, but the Chiefs still pretty much controlled that football game. So until somebody shows me that they can derail Mahomes in a postseason game, was he 15-2 in the postseason? I still think that the Chiefs are the team to beat. But I do think, before we throw it to Ryan and Stephen A. here, this is a great signing because he'll be motivated. He'll get out of Tennessee. He'll have some help offensively, and he's going to try to win a Super Bowl. But I do think the Chiefs are still the team to beat.
I'll let RC be the judge and jury on this one. I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, but I'm going to utter the word respectfully because I understand what you're saying, because Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, and we're talking about the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, so I get that. But when you look at the Baltimore Ravens, you look at how they played defense this year. Now we got to harken back to why did you lose in an AFC Championship game. Obviously, there was some mistakes. Zay Flowers obviously caught a touchdown in the end zone, but ultimately lost the ball. We get that part. We know that Lamar Jackson threw an interception as well.
Here's what I would say to you. You lose the game 17-10. We're talking about a guy in Derrick Henry. Now, granted, he's 30 years of age, so he's not going to do what he used to do over the last four of the last five seasons where he's led the league in carries. He's been averaging about 306 carries, crying out loud. That's a lot of workload, but this man is a man child. In a man's league, he's a man amongst boys at that position. So you're talking about a bell cow at the running back spot. When we talk about quarterbacks, and if we ever question what they're lacking, one of the things, Doggy, that offsets the level of skepticism that might be thrown in their way is when they have somebody in the backfield that they can hand the ball off to on a significant level. When you have that person, I don't care what quarterback you are, we're usually looking at you as being in a better situation than you were before. So now let's ask ourselves, Lamar Jackson in a better situation? Lamar Jackson. This ain't Ryan Tannehill in a better situation.
Yeah.
This is not somebody like that, Derek Carr, somebody like that in a better situation. This is Lamar Jackson. And you just lost the game, the AFC Championship game, just by a touchdown. I'm looking at it from that standpoint. I'm seeing a defense, obviously, with Queen, he's gone. And I get that that's going to compromise you to some degree. But a big-time defense with Lamar Jackson, with Zay Flowers, with your offensive coordinator that you've got, now you get Derrick Henry in the backfield to give the ball to at least 20 times. I mean, we talk about more than that, but at least 20 times. I think that helps them immensely. I'm sorry. I think that this team. I think that this team right now.
Team to beat now. Team to beat.
Well, listen. I think their offense. I think their offense, because we're asking the questions about who's scarier. Look at Kansas City. Did you get a new? Did you get an all-world wide receiver? Have I missed something? Have I missed a report?
No.
Have they acquired some DeAndre Hopkins or somebody? Have they acquired somebody? I don't know that. Until I see Patrick Mahomes getting one of those weapons, I'm going to look at Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens right now, and I'm going to say with Derrick Henry there offensively, yeah, I like them a lot.
So here is where it stands. Derrick Henry still has a ton in the tank. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry is scary in any backfield, let alone being next to Lamar Jackson in shotgun. The last time I saw Derrick Henry in a big-time game in the playoffs against the Kansas City Chiefs in the second half, he had a coat on the entire second half. The last time we saw a running back be the reason that a team won a Super Bowl has to be back in the 90s, 80s, the time that we like to see Mad Dog harken to. That's not what football is anymore. You know who was the number one rushing offense in the entire NFL last year? The Baltimore Ravens. Now tell me what that did for Todd Monken and this offense in the AFC Championship against the Kansas City Chiefs. It did absolutely nothing. They don't need to be a better running team. They need to be a team that understands that in the critical football moments and in situational football, in AFC championships, in divisional rounds of the playoffs, we can call the right play for our quarterback and have them executed in the correct way. Derrick Henry doesn't have anything to do with that. Is he an imposing force? Hell yeah. You think people was running up on Gus Edwards, though? All willy-nilly? You think people felt like Gus Edwards wasn't a downhill back? That Gus Edwards wasn't great in the red zone? Mm-hmm. And then you sprinkle in Justice Hill. And then you sprinkle in Keaton Mitchell, who will be coming off of injury and can be healthy. That's not what they need. Does this make them imposing on Madden? Absolutely. Will they win the championship if this is the team you pick? Absolutely. But in playing football, in reality, having the best running back doesn't make you the best team. If you can't do the things around him to win important football games, and we haven't seen that from Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, and we haven't seen that from a team that Derrick Henry was on. And this is when he was the best running back in football. Mm-hmm. Is he still good? Yes, but he's not that.
That was beautiful. So eloquent. I mean, I just have
to. Bro, you are the most. You are the most. Set you up to tear you down. Person in TV.
I'm just saying, man. I gotta give respect where respect is due. That was a beautiful soliloquy.
Oh boy.
There's only one problem. You were one of those people in the immediate aftermath of these. You can see I watch you. You said I watch you.
I was on TV with you. We were together.
I understand that. But I was watching you before. You understand what I'm saying? Now, this is Sports Center, all right? But I'll sit there the next morning. Wasn't you the one complaining that the problem with the Baltimore Ravens is that they didn't run?
Yes.
Thank you. The point that I'm trying to make to you is that you can't sit up there and say that now. What you're explaining now to me about the Baltimore Ravens, you said it didn't mean a damn thing.
Wait, but were you talking about Lamar?
He ran the ball eight times. I had to call up the stats in the AFC Championship game. He ran the ball eight times.
They ran the ball 16 times as a team. You didn't run the ball.
Yes.
So guess what? What I'm saying is, now that you got Derrick Henry, and I got a brother that I can hand the football off to, and by the way, he can make things happen, and he can contribute to wearing down opposing defenses. I can't look at this. I know that you're not saying it's a minus, but I certainly don't think it's a minus. It's a subtraction at all.
Right. So what you're saying is this, though. So you're saying the name Derrick Henry, the cachet that he carries in this, is going to make Todd Monken remember that they're the number one rushing team in the NFL? Because that's what happened. He just forgot.
I'm saying it's going to make Todd Monken remember. I got to give our running backs the damn football in the AFC Championship game against it. That's what I'm saying.
They were number one in rushing last year, though, Stephen A.
Yeah, but you got it. But what I'm saying to you is this. You have – with a guy like Derrick Henry, there is no way in hell he's not going to get his carries. You're not going to run the football 16 times and your quarterback ran it 8 times. Not with Derrick Henry in the backfield. That's not going to happen. You know he's going to get the ball, and I think that's going to be – I think that could be a difference.
He is still a quarterback league. And the best quarterback in that league in the AFC is Mahomes. The second best is Burrow. The third best is Josh Allen. So if you have
Josh Allen.
From the Bills.
I know who the hell you're talking about. I know he's with New York.
They don't agree with you. They think it's Lamar.
Oh, no way. He's not better than Josh Allen.
Yes, he is.
Oh, no, he's no way.
Josh Allen is.
You don't think
an incredible talent, but makes too many mistakes.
He's
a game changer, but he makes too many mistakes.
Let me ask you this way. Has Lamar played a playoff game as well as Allen has played in 2 games against Kansas City?
Never.
So then how can he be better than Josh Allen?
Because we've seen it, a consistency of play throughout entire seasons and into the playoffs. And Josh Allen's play has not elevated his team past the Kansas City Chiefs either. The individual play has been great. The individual play has been good in the times that it wasn't great, like the divisional round of the playoff. But when you think of the throw he misses to Shakir late in that game and the one that he decides to go deep instead of taking the crosser, those are plays that keep you from winning football.
And you're big about picking one or two plays and holding it against people.
How about Diggs on the same drive? He dropped the big pass, a 70-yard pass.
That's true, he did. No doubt.
How about that play?
No doubt.
What about Zay Flowers getting the football knocked out of his hand as he's reaching over the goal line?
That's
we can do that with any quarterback.
That's right.
But that was the last drive of the game, though, Ryan. He scores that. He catches that ball. They get a first down to 20-yard line. They're going to win the game on that last drive. Josh Allen lost 37-31 to Kansas City. They didn't get a ball in overtime.
Yep.
They changed the rule.
Who do you trust more in a big game in the playoffs, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson?
Well, Lamar Jackson hasn't proven that he deserves to be trusted more than Josh Allen.
That's my point. That means he's the fourth best quarterback in the AFC.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you guys agree
Joe Burrow's number two?
Yes.
Your LSU guy?
Yes. So what?
Joe Burrow, his LSU guy's number two?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. No question.
So once again, I win.
Yeah, you won.
You guys won. Bouncing around for 20 minutes.
And then I cut it down to the case.
Right.
You cut it down to one game.
I had to tee you up, though, and then you got it. Yeah, it was
good. Did I win?
I tell about you. You won. But I had to get involved.
Stay out of it.
I had to get involved. Would you relax?
You can't have a bias.
She can't do that. She's not capable of doing that.
I was just trying to
help. Only time you got a shot of pulling that off with Molly is when she's eating. Because she don't want to interrupt her food, and she's not going to talk at that particular moment in time. Outside of that, she's going to interrupt.
Maybe more people should start eating then, because
I eat enough.
When the Derrick Henry news broke, Swaggoo. I miss Swaggoo. Where is he? He tweeted this. Well, this is, look at that headshot. Yo, Swaggoo. Does he have an earring, too?
That is faulty advertising. He does not look like that
now. I see
Swaggoo's at the let out
He called himself. Big sexy. He calls himself big sexy. All I'm trying to say, my brother looks great. He's a handsome man. But that is not an accurate photo of how he looks right now. That is not him right now.
That's him about 20, 30 pounds light. Listen,
right there.
That is not an accurate depiction of what he is.
I'm just making a point.
All right.
That's about 30 pounds lighter right there. That is not an accurate depiction.
You are literally the fat police. I need you to stop talking because I need to do my job, please. So again, this is a great move. Teams are actually trying to win. Stephen A., yesterday you felt it was very important for the Cowboys to sign Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Obviously, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Take a listen.
You know damn well, even though Baltimore could use him, you know exactly who needs him. It's them damn Dallas Cowboys. That's who needs him. Yes, they need an offensive tackle. Yes, they need a run-stopping defensive tackle. Yes, they need a linebacker. But you know what they need most, and that's that damn running back. You got to find a way to take the ball out of Dak Prescott's hand. You yourself, Shannon Sharp, I'm going on you. You sat up there and pointed out how Mike McCarthy lied to Jerry Jones. Let me run the offense. Yeah, we going to run the ball more, and then didn't do it. You understand what I'm saying? This is part of the problem. So come playoff time, what you do? You put the ball in Dak Prescott's hands. You said, take me there, and he couldn't do it.
Nothing better than Stephen A. watching Stephen A. All right, meanwhile, Tad Prescott, the brother of Dak Prescott, called out the Cowboys this week by touting the Eagles as the league's best front office. So, RC, do you think it's too soon to panic for the Cowboys?
It's too soon to go into a full panic. But I'm definitely sweating.
A little anxiety. Yeah. A little butterflies in the stomach. My heart rate is up.
My heart rate is up.
Which is saying a lot because I see you in the gym.
Your heart rate's up.
You've been working
because
out, bro.
Because when you look at this team, we're all in, right? And we had Micah Parsons excited during the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl saying, I'm excited to see what that means. Dak Prescott said, I haven't talked to Jerry Jones yet, but I'm definitely excited to see what that means going forward. That means nothing. That means we can lose our defensive coordinator, lose members of our defensive staff, add Mike Zimmer, and not make any changes defensively. Understanding that the defense is going to be totally different schematically, that we got ran through by Aaron Jones and the Green Bay Packers because we don't have linebackers. We're not going to make any adjustments there. We're not going to acquire any talent that's been proven in the NFL there early. What are you going to do as free agency goes along? We saw what happens when Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb aren't on the same page. For that entire first half of the Green Bay Packer game, they were looking at one another. They were looking at each other puzzled, right? They were in a conundrum. They couldn't figure out why they couldn't get the ball. That's when we saw the two interceptions, the one pick six against the Green Bay Packers. Now you go to the run game. Who's going to run the ball? I said that last year when they decided that they were going to run the ball and Mike McCarthy lied to Jerry Jones and said they were going to be a team that pounded the football, that led it to play action. I said with who? Tony Pollard isn't going to be that guy. Now even he's gone and you don't add anybody else. Are we saying that Deuce Vaughn is going to be that person? Are we going to find him in the draft? And so what they do going forward is important. And we have to remember this. They have three players that are going to be asking to be either the highest paid person at their position or top two or
Dak,
three.
Dak, CD.
And Micah Parsons. How do you get that taken care of? So there's some work that Jerry Jones and this team has to do. But I will say this, Stephen A., here's why I'm proud of them. Normally at this point, they're making all of these moves and you're sitting around, which is Southern Steve hat on,
howdy,
excited. You know why? Because you're saying build up the expectations. We know at the most important moment, they're going to fall.
Right.
Jerry Jones tricked you now. He not even going to build the expectations. We going to know going into the season they suck this time. And so we ain't going to have to deal with it.
I am not that concerned by it because teams that think they win in March, they turn out to be a 7-11 football team or whatever.
7-10
football team. So I know everybody wants to jump on what Green Bay did, jump on what the Eagles did. Wow, the Giants bring Burns in, and look what the Giants did. I got to be a little careful. And most of the time, you hit a great point. Jerry loves to win the offseason, like the old Yankees.
Yeah.
Win the free agent battle, and then like Steinbrenner in the 80s, and then when the season starts, the team stunk, for crying out loud. Sometimes you're better off to take it slow. They've done a good job with the draft. CeeDee Lamb, a great pick. Obviously, Micah Parsons was a great pick. Diggs, the corner, was a great pick. They got a good offensive line, so I'm okay for a change with them being a little quiet. Now, they did lose Quinn, but I can't go crazy on Quinn. We saw his defense the last so maybe Zimmer will be an improvement. So who knows? So you made a good point schematically. I don't know enough about that. That's your area of expertise, not mine. But I'm not going to make a big deal about losing Dan Quinn. Myself.
Yeah.
I'm not making a big deal about that. I did see him blow a Super Bowl to the Patriots to get him. So I'm okay with the Cowboys taking it quiet right now. They're not a – are they a very good team? Yes. Are they a playoff team? Yes. Are they Super Bowl worthy? Probably not, but I don't know if there's anything they really could have done right now to get them the next level. Their Prescott is still shaky. Their defense is still overrated. And it's not like Tony Pollard's Tony Dorsett.
Yeah.
They can replace him. I'm okay with where Dallas is.
Well, it's not about Tony Pollard being Dorsett or not being Dorsett. It's about you knowing, with him or without him, you needed something better than what you got from him.
Mm-hmm.
And you did nothing.
as of yet. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia Eagles got Saquon Barkley. We can't ignore the impact of that. Yep. Meanwhile, Atlanta got Kirk Cousins. Meanwhile, Green Bay got Aaron Jones. And so you got to look at it from that perspective. Green Bay, who smoked you? I say 48-16. I don't give a damn about the final score, 48-32. You're getting your behinds kicked, 48-16. That's what I remember, okay? So Green Bay's there. San Francisco hasn't faded. So you look at those things. You got to look at the pieces around you, meaning the competition around you, and say to yourself, okay, I got to react to some degree to make sure that I offset what other teams are doing, because we had our own deficiencies, our own weaknesses as well. Now let me veer left for a second here and address Mr. Tad Prescott that had some things to say about me yesterday. Let me say this on national television. You know, I want to apologize because I said, you know, what is it? Sit your ass down. From the movie The Burial with Jamie Foxx, sit your ass down. Shouldn't have said that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm better than that. I shouldn't have said that. I also told him to shut the hell up. You understand what I'm saying? I shouldn't have said that because it dilutes my presentation and my delivery dilutes from the potency of the point that I was trying to make. So I want to apologize for that. While saying this, my brother, grow up. Your brother is the star quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. You are talking about team business where practically everyone is going to believe is coming from him. Mm. You are compromising how he is being viewed by Dallas Cowboy fans. By the way, it's in the aftermath of you talking smack about Dallas Cowboy fans and literally saying how you wish your brother wasn't there anymore, which makes folks wonder whether or not he wishes he wasn't there anymore in the midst of him looking to get a bag that could make him the highest paid quarterback in history. That's what you're doing as a family member that last time I checked has nothing to do with the Cowboys. You ain't getting a check from them. You damn sure don't play for them. You're not employed by them. So all you're doing is chirping, chirping, chirping. And it is at the expense of your brother. Is that better? All right, no disrespect, no derogatory things. Just factual. This is what he needs to understand. And at the end of the day, getting back to what we were talking about, who's it going to be on now that you didn't get Derrick Henry? Mm. Who's it going to be on now that you didn't get Saquon Barkley? Who's it going to be on now that Tony Pollard is gone? Who's it going to be on since you coming for your bag? It's going to be on Dak Prescott, the very dude whose brother is out there acting like an immature little child. Keep family business inside the family. Is that respectful enough?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I thought it was great.
And it's Women's History Month. Our trivia question for today, who are the only women to win 5 Olympic gold medals in basketball? Mad Dog, you think you can answer it?
I don't know if I can. That's a good question. Mm, wow.
I'll give you a hint. I would think Storrs. We'll answer that after
help.
The break.
Yes, I'll get it right.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
My favorite women's sports moment, I gotta go back to being a kid and falling in love with the WNBA and women's basketball. It has to be the three-peat by the Houston Comets, the trio of Cynthia Cooper, Tina Thompson, and Cheryl Swoops. I was smitten with them, if that's a word that I can use. I mean, they were women winning at the highest level and doing it unapologetically so, and that is the moment I think I fell for women's sports.
Love me some Monica McNutt. All right, our trivia question was this. Who are the only women to win 5 Olympic gold medals in basketball? I gave you the hint, Mad Dog.
Good
one. Doris Connecticut, UConn Huskies. The answer is the great Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi. They both won 5 straight. 2004, 2008, 2012, 2016, 2020. And I just want to say congrats to the Lady Huskies on winning the Big East tournament. The men are about to close that out on Saturday.
That's the first trivia question we ever asked that I knew the answer to.
You knew it?
I knew that one.
I should have asked
you.
Good
for you, Steve. You
I'm
did
sorry.
That.
That's the only time.
I didn't think you were into it. Otherwise, I would have teed you up.
Yeah. I'm not into it at all.
I thought you wanted to check your email, so I just let you.
I do.
I just let you breathe.
I usually do, but I know that one.
Okay. Quick take. This one's for you, so I need you to be awake. The T-Wolves took down the Clippers in L.A., but more bad news for the Clips. Stephen A., Kawhi, he left early in the game.
Good Lord.
Back spasms. Are you concerned about this? Because I know how highly you think of this Clippers team.
How can you not be? And by the way, I'm usually awake when you're asleep, so let's keep that in mind. But let's get back to the subject at hand right
now. Oh, it was just TV talk.
I understand this TV talk.
Don't get sensitive. Everyone knows you're awake and you work very hard.
I'm just stating facts.
I wake up much earlier in the morning than you do, though.
You do. You damn right you do. Because I usually go to sleep when you're getting up. But the point is this. Kawhi Leonard, I got to give credit where credit is due because obviously I've been critical of him in the past because he missed so many damn games and he does nothing to market the sport. But I know he's a great player. One of only 6 players this year averaging 20 points, Dougie, of a game shooting 50% from the field, 40% from three-point range. Career high 52.3% from the field, 42.6% from three-point range, ranks top 10 in the NBA, right? I want to throw y'all a list of injuries that this man has suffered. Because this year, this is his 58th game that he tried to play last night, okay? Hasn't played in 60 or more games since 2016, 2017. So this is a big deal. He's been playing games, and I got to give credit where credit's due, okay?
Yes, he has.
Here's the deal in 5 seasons with the Clippers. 5 seasons. I mean, talk about his career. Just 5 seasons with the Clippers, y'all. These are the injuries on his list. Knee, foot, back, leg, face, injury management, illness, ankle, abductor, hips, groin. And now it's back spasms. I mean, my God. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. But it's just one of those things that makes you say, here we go again. Not just with him, but the Clippers. Because I got news for you. The Clippers could win the chip. They could win it all. I don't think they will. They got a shot, though. They really, really do. Until you see that. And then you say, no, they don't. Because you just don't believe that there's any way in hell that a series, one series after another after another after another is going to go through and Kawhi Leonard ain't going to get it.
100%. They got a dark cloud over the franchise. And, you know, he, George, they always get banged up. I agree with you.
All right.
Not to interrupt your little...
Well, I sympathize because back spasms are extremely painful.
Yeah.
Take a look at the notable free agent moves here. Running backs flew off the shelves in the free agent negotiating period. They really did, Mad Dog. Did you see this?
I know they
were
really
in the undisclosed 100%. Exotic location.
Yes.
But quarterbacks were harder to come by. Other than Kirk Cousins heading to the quarterback needy Falcons. And Russell Wilson, he's a stealer. Mad Dog, who's going to have the biggest impact when you take a look at that? And Lewis Riddick is here with us.
Mr. Chippendale.
Per usual. In
what's
the
up,
three piece.
What's
How
up,
we doing,
man?
Lou?
You know? How are you? Good to see y'all.
Great to see you, Lou.
The white shirt, I mean, I prefer this black, silky look shirt.
I had that on yesterday, man. I had that on yesterday.
You weren't here yesterday, but you weren't here.
He's got range.
You would have seen it.
Exactly, Molly. Thank you, Molly.
Yeah, yeah. And please don't wear black silk with a navy three-piece. You're doing just fine. Mad Dog, going to you.
This is easy. Cousins. Not even a debate.
Oh, Lord.
This is a huge thing for Atlanta. The owner's 82 years of age. He knew he didn't have a quarterback on a roster. Cousins after Stafford. You can make an argument that Cousins is the second-best quarterback in the NFC after Stafford. I know you got Hurts. You want to bring in Jordan Love, Goff, Prescott, whoever you want him, Purdy. But you can make an argument that Cousins is the second-best quarterback. I'm not sure if I would support that, but you can make the argument. And he now, coming off the Achilles, I'm going to expect him to bounce back. He's 36 years of age. They bring in Mooney. They obviously have Kyle. They got the tight end. London, this is a bad division. This was a home run for the Falcons. Now, listen, does that mean they're going to win a Super Bowl? No. Does that necessarily mean they're going to win the NFC? No. But as far as where they were with the two quarterbacks, Ritter and Heinicke, and where they are now, and then Minnesota is left for Sam Darnold, this is a no-brainer. You can't even debate it.
Yes.
Cousins. No, you can't.
I can.
No, you
yes,
can't.
I can.
With who,
no,
Steve?
No. You.
Barkley?
I'm about to debate it with you.
You hate Cousins. You know
I don't hate him.
About.
I don't hate him.
Cousins is. Yes, you do. Play the sound for 2 years ago.
You know what?
You're not a fan.
I can take. Well, listen, I'm not a fan because the man's got one player figure. Hold on.
I'll tell you what. You love his agent, though.
Damn right. His agent is beautiful.
Now,
don't get me wrong. I'm not getting. Listen, John Rose and Mark Shapiro, they ain't going nowhere. Those are my boys. So I don't need an agent.
He's a football agent.
Well, damn it. They do other things. Don't think that they're just stuck in football. Now, see, that's what I'm saying. See, you need to listen to me more. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is that I still don't need Kirk Cousins' agent. But I'll be damned if he ain't a good one. He ain't a good one because this man's got Kirk Cousins some money. Let me tell you something, Lewis Riddick. Let me school doggy here for a second right now. Because this is just blasphemy that you're saying. I have to take in it. If you're talking about the player, I concede to everyone that Kirk Cousins at this point is better than Russell Wilson. That's not what we're talking about. Mm. I'll even give it to him knowing he's coming off an Achilles injury, okay? Mm. Which can be tricky, even though he's not a mobile quarterback, and so you don't expect much from him in terms of mobility anyway. But still, an Achilles injury is an Achilles injury, and it's something that you have to take seriously. We got to look at Aaron Rodgers when he comes up for the Jets this season, assuming he's not running for the vice presidency of the United States. But that's a different subject for another moment in the show. Here's the point. Look at Russell Wilson on the Steelers. You had Mitchell Trubisky. You had Mason Rudolph, okay? Not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Mason Rudolph, okay? And you had Kenny Pickett, who I believe the biggest reason he was drafted is because he was at the University of Pittsburgh and they share the same damn facilities, and a familiarity and an affection and affinity for the dude is what made you take him. But that's neither here nor there. My point is, Dane Russell Wilson, the defense for the Pittsburgh Steelers lugged these brothers through the regular season into the playoffs with 10 victories on the season. No offense. Russell Wilson threw 26 touchdowns last season. The Pittsburgh Steelers threw 25 in the last 2 years combined. Okay? I see Pickens there. I know Deontay Johnson's gone. I got faith that you're going to find somebody else, whether it's Austin III or somebody else, right? I got Najee Harris and his brother Warren out of the backfield. I got Freiermuth at the tight end spot. I got a decent offensive line. I got a defense that's advantageous and that can do some things. Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, they got some talent with London and Bijan Robinson and these guys. I get that. But in the end of the day, we're not really expecting much from the Atlanta Falcons. If the Steelers could get any kind of production from the quarterback spot, they could potentially make some noise. That is what I am saying, which to me is why this is bigger than Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. The only thing you got going for you in Atlanta is the fact that you're in the NFC South. Nobody seems to want the division money enough. They seem to be giving it away every chance they get. That's about all you got going for you. I think Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh is a bigger deal.
Nope.
Oh, Lord.
Nope.
Oh, Lord.
Not even close. Doggy, I'm with you, doggy. I'm with you, man. It's not even a discussion.
Now you've been working these guys.
It's not even a discussion. Look, Kirk is going to hit the ground running in Atlanta with Raheem Morris, with Zach Robinson, his new offensive coordinator, with T.J. Yates, the quarterback coach. They're going to be operating at such a high
hold
level
on,
from
Lewis.
The get-go. Hold on. Let me finish.
I just want to comment about the one thing you said.
Thought.
How the hell are you going to say somebody hit the ground running that we don't even know can run?
You saw the video. He's already dropping, but he's already throwing the football. He's Stephen A., you know he's going to be healthy. If the only thing that, if the only argument you're going to make is the fact that he's coming off an Achilles injury and you don't think he's going to be ready, then that's a bad argument. He's going to be ready. He's going to be ready. Don't, because if that's your only argument, then you've already lost this debate. Because he will have the biggest impact on this football team because, one, he's going to be able to teach the offense. He's going to be able to teach the offense to these young guys when we're talking about impacting this football team. These young guys, every one of these guys, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney, the offensive line that has 3 number one draft picks and 2 number twos on the line, they all going to be looking right at Kirk. They're going to be looking at Kirk saying, look, you have operated at the highest level in this offense, in this one. Raheem's going to be like, go do your work. They all are speaking the same language. The whole building is going to be energized. The defense is going to be energized. The city is going bananas down there right now.
Oh,
because they feel as
really?
Though right now, yeah,
really?
They are.
Really?
Yes, they are.
They
okay,
go,
listen.
They're going
okay, hold
bananas
on, hold on.
They're elite. They got a quarterback. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lewis. I'm sorry.
They do have a quarterback. How can you argue against Kirk Cousins? Look, Kirk Cousins can't play every position. Every playoff failure that they had in Minnesota was not because Kirk Cousins sucks. You know it's not. That's not the case.
I didn't say that. We're
talking about the biggest impact. You know what Russell Wilson needs to do in Pittsburgh? He needs to do exactly what they asked him to do. Play on time, play in rhythm, play in structure. He don't need to cook. He don't need to run around 3.5, 4 seconds trying to hit the big bomb on the outside. Just operate the offense. Just be a point guard. He don't need to have some big
point
impact.
Point guards are very important.
He don't need to. You know what? And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But the question is, who's going to have the biggest impact? Kirk Cousins is going to absolutely make Atlanta favorites to win the South. And it will make them playoff.
Favorites
say,
to win the South.
Yes,
favorites
I believe.
Favorites to win the South. Over Tampa? Over Tampa.
I believe they could be favorites to win the South. No question about it.
So
I do believe that.
He's going to start week one, Lou?
No question. I don't see it. You wouldn't make this deal if you didn't think Kirk was going to be ready to suit up week one. You don't make that deal. You don't go all in like this.
Can I ask you a question, Lewis? Lewis, you and Doggy amaze me. Because, see, Doggy, Mr. Historian, and you, I mean, Mr. Cerebral, this dude, you know football inside. I'm just saying like this. 6 years in Minnesota, the brother got less playoff wins than Dak
Stephen
Prescott.
A. Stephen
and
A.
I
don't.
Know it's not just him. It's a team. But, damn, the 6 years, you certainly go to the negotiating table. You certainly make your money. Are you going to sit there with a straight face and tell me that in the playoff games that Kirk Cousins played well? Is that what you're going to tell me next?
No, look.
Come on now.
Let me ask
you. Come on now.
If you took a poll of 32 teams, 32 GMs, and you said, okay, Russ, Kirk, right now.
I conceded that at the start of my soliloquy. I know Kirk Cousins better.
Then how could you say he's not going to have a bigger impact on his team than this year?
I'm saying that look at the team the Steelers have. Steelers, one could easily argue, is a quarterback away from challenging in the AFC because so much other pieces are there. What the hell is Atlanta?
Whoa. Challenging what?
Excuse me, I didn't say Kansas City, but they can challenge anybody else in the AFC. You damn right they can. The Steelers? If you get good quarterback play from the Steelers, they can't challenge Baltimore, Cincinnati,
hey,
Steelers,
you know
Miami.
You know what? I'll say that Patrick Queen will have a bigger impact on Pittsburgh than Russell Wilson.
All right. Hey, beggars can't be choosy, baby. If that's what you're
going
to tell me, I'll take it anywhere I can get.
Patrick Queen
going to
have a bigger impact on that team than Russell Wilson.
Decent quarterback play is going to help the Pittsburgh Steelers immensely. That's what I said.
That's true, but we're talking about the biggest. Russell ain't no force multiplier at this point in his career. He ain't going to make George Pickens that much better. He ain't going to make Pat Freiermuth that much better. Kirk Cousins, because of his impact and his knowledge in this offense, I promise you Drake London's going to go off.
I think where you're wrong is that you're missing what an upgrade Russell Wilson is going to be compared to the people that Pickens
and those boys had thrown the football. Hold up. You know as well as I know, right? See, this is what people I don't understand. You're a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
You know, Stephen A., you know how bad Matt Canada was. You know it.
He was.
You know how bad he was. But you know what? No one wants to give Kenny Pickett the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what? He was a victim of what was happening there. We don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt at all. So you don't think this should be a competition between him and Russ?
I don't think it should.
I think if it's a competition.
You think they should just hand it to Russ?
No. This is what I mean. I think it's an indictment against Russell Wilson if we see that it's a quarterback battle in Pittsburgh and it's a tough decision for them to make. I think it's an indictment against Russell Wilson. Go ahead.
You know what I think it is?
Lewis, you are 1,000% right. This is the second argument I've won already here in the first half hour. If you look at Russell Wilson and the Steelers right now, they are still the fourth place team in the AFC North. Burrow, they're not better than. They're not better than, obviously, the Ravens. And if DeSean Jackson plays, they're not better than the Browns, who last year obviously made the playoffs. And the Browns made a great move getting a Denver receiver. He's going to help them. Atlanta, which only last year, Judy, right. Atlanta last year only finished two games back of Tampa, and they were involved in Week 17. That division stinks. Carolina's bad. New Orleans isn't great. Tampa's pretty good, but they were 9-8. Now you bring in Cousins with Mooney, an experienced quarterback who is top 5 or 6 easy in that conference. That team's going to win 10, 11 games. You can't tell me the Steelers are going to do that. So just from a game perspective, they're going to go from 7-10, and Pittsburgh might win 9, might win 8. Who knows?
This is what's funny about you. First of all, the Steelers are allergic to last place. So let's get that straight. You can talk to all the three teams in the AFC North all you want to. Steelers ain't finishing last place no year. That's number one. Number two, it's amazing. To show the audience how slick Doggy Dog is, you understand? And I got to get my man Snoop Dogg on with you. The dog talking to doggy. You understand that? I'm going to make that happen for you. Here's the deal, man. This is the thing that absolutely positively kills me about you. Doggy goes out there, Riddick, and he says, yo, they only finished two games behind Tampa. What was Tampa's record?
9-8.
You act like they were 13-3 or 13-4, but you only finished two games. Now you left that little nugget out. They were 9-8 for crying out loud in Tampa. What, like they were 12-5 or 13-4 or something? Don't give me that. The Atlanta Falcons finished 7-10.
You know,
all right, you got Kirk Cousins. Will they be better? Yes. I have no doubt about that. Would they challenge for the AFC, the NFC North, the South rather? Yes, I do. But I'm talking about Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh with what Pittsburgh has in place, I believe will mean more than Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta.
So you're just totally saying Kenny Pickett's out of the picture.
Damn, right.
What I was going to say. How do you even know Russell Wilson's going to be the starter?
That's what I'm saying.
How do you know that? I scored 26 touchdowns and 28 interceptions.
I don't care what he did last year.
Excuse me. I saw him doing it for a coach that hated him. You know what I'm saying? And benched him the last two games. I saw that too. He hurt himself because he alienated the team with how he came in there with all of the perks that he was stomaching at the expense of his teammates. And so that was a bad situation. That's not going to happen in Pittsburgh. Now I'm looking at the fact that you can't throw to save your life if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers for the last 2 years. You get a quarterback that can do something. Only 13. He's never thrown more than 13 interceptions in a season, and he only did that once. I like Russell Wilson's chances in Pittsburgh compared to Cousins in Atlanta.
Cousins, Lewis, he's lost. I don't know where he's coming from.
I've been
with him a long time. This is ridiculous.
Without a map or a compass.
All right, I
got to go to break, and you're so loud, I can't even hear producers. I have no idea of what they're telling me to do. So, could you ask them?
Did I say anything then?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
You retain Justin Fields. You keep him. You also draft Caleb Williams. You get two quarterbacks for cheap. At some point during the season, somebody's going to come knocking on Ryan Poles' door because they will have an injury in their own building. They will need a quarterback that's ready, an explosive, dynamic option, and that's Justin Fields.
All right, that was longtime Bear Kyle Long there. And I should mention yesterday, Adam Schefter said Fields is potentially looking at being a backup this upcoming season. So, Stephen A., what do you think of that sentiment? Should the Bears consider retaining Fields?
I do. I agree with him on this particular one. And by the way, I was just on a podcast with him and his brother Chris Long at South by Southwest Conference in Green Lights. They're doing a great job. So congratulations to them. And I've known Howie Long for years. Love him to death. So that's their daddy. And good to see them doing well. Let me say this. I agree with him because of what we've learned, Lewis, Doggy, over the last few days, if not over the last few weeks. We were expecting a better market for Justin Fields. The fact that we haven't seen that, and you're about to draft a star in Caleb Williams, presumably, or Jaden Daniels, the bottom line is this. Whoever you pick, you don't know if they're going to be ready from day one. And it might present an opportunity for you, knowing that they're the future, to elevate the stock of Justin Fields so you could potentially go out there and get more than apparently is out there available for him right now. When you hear about him now, you hear a fourth-round pick or a sixth-round pick. When I was talking to my man Mike Wilbon on Saturday before we were doing NBA Countdown, Mike Wilbon was like, man, I want to hear that. We want a first-rounder. This is what he was talking about initially. That is out the window. That's not going to happen for Justin Fields. I believe you just should move him. I get where you're coming from, Doggy, in terms of having them both together. I'm just of the mindset that because we've learned that there's a limited amount that you can get in return for his services,
right,
it's no harm in holding on to him for a little bit longer.
I understand your point. You would get a lot more middle of the year if somebody got hurt, but this is not an older quarterback. This is not Kurt Warner with Eli Manning, where he was sort of a stopgap. He was older. You let him play until Eli was ready. Fields is a young player. He wants to be the quarterback of a big-time team, and you're going to have in training camp, you got Williams, who's the successor. He knows he's the quarterback of the future. Fields knows that, too. Distractions. Justin, what do you feel about sort of being the Bear quarterback half a year and then getting traded? That's not the way you want to start a season. That is not the way you want to start the kid who gets drafted. You know, by the way, you're going to sit for 8 games because we want to play Justin so we can up the ante and hopefully somebody gets hurt and we can trade him and then your team. That's just not the way you want to do it. He's a young GM. The head coach is always coaching for his career there. You're going to give him 2 quarterbacks to deal with in the month in July and August. Listen, I understand you're not going to get as much. You're probably going to get, you know, a 4th-round pick instead of a 2nd-round pick. I buy that. So you're going to lose a little bit. But I don't think it's worth your aggravation to put two young quarterbacks, one who knows he's on his way out, on the team for 3 months. And, hey, Justin, by the way, play hard. Don't get hurt. And we'll see if we can get rid of you in the middle of October at the deadline. That's how you want to start your year with a young guy there sitting there from USC. I don't think it's worth your aggravation.
But my problem with what you're saying is that I think on far too many occasions, and maybe I'm wrong about this, I'll leave the door open for that, but I think on far too many occasions, you are concerned about things like that too often, and I don't think it's necessary. You're not playing. What the hell are you doing? It's your job to know how to deal with aggravation. It's your job to know how to handle aggravation. I'm not saying that these situations are ideal. Ideally, they would have need to use the number one overall pick on a quarterback because Justin Fields would have performed at such an elite level. He would be their quarterback of the future, would have been established, and they don't need to move in a different direction. But clearly, that hasn't happened. And if that hasn't happened, they have to take other things into consideration. And so you're trying to get the best roster, assemble the best roster that you could possibly can. You're also trying to build for the future if you're Ryan Poles.
All right.
Okay, as opposed to Ryan Pace, you want to build for the future. You don't want to find yourself in a situation where, oh my goodness,
hey, Sunshine,
I'm stuck.
EP, top of the hour, buddy. Let's go.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.